Is it ever too soon to talk about fantasy football? No way, no how. Welcome to the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast, year two of the Fantasy Football Podcast. Derek Kramer, Joe DiBiase here with you, the new one on the team here. Nate Geary also going to be handing out podcasts on WGR's on-demand audio and podcasts for you here. Make sure you check out the on-demand audio. Always great stuff. You can listen to any show, anytime. You can listen to our podcast. And, you know what, have some fun dominating your fantasy football leagues this year, because that's what we're here to do for you on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. Am I right, Joe?
You're completely right. And I like that you brought the rookie on to talk some rookies here.
Rookie to talk some rookies, and that's probably no better segue than that. So nice job there, Joe. The NFL draft happened, and you obviously have to go ahead and look at, hey, how are these rookies going to come into the veteran training camps, everything like that? OTAs are done. Mini camps are going to be on their way. And now you got to start looking into the fantasy perspective. Why? Because guess what? We're into June. Yeah. We're in June. That means that your fantasy drafts, like it or not, for some leagues, some drafts are going to happen in July. Some drafts are going to happen in August before the preseason's over. So you better start looking. You better start looking now. And that's what we're here to do for you. This is the first of many this year. And not to mention, the three of us will be hammering out fantasy football articles for you to be checking out every week as well on WGR550.com. So let's start off with the quarterbacks here, the rookie QBs. There's not too much to really get into here. You've got Patrick Mahomes. He's probably going to be the least sort of fantasy impact, save for an Alex Smith injury or the Chiefs doing terrible, which Bills fans are going to want to happen. Mm-hmm. If the Chiefs have Pat Mahomes in this year, that means that something's gone wrong. So I wouldn't worry about Pat Mahomes. Dynasty League, you can go ahead and throw that into the, you know, I wouldn't even worry about Mahomes right away there either.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mahomes, if Alex Smith gets hurt, you know, maybe he could be a streamer with a good matchup. But I think the only scenario where I could even see one of these rookie quarterbacks becoming a guy you can rely on week after week is if, you know, a guy like DeShone Kizer or Mitch Trubisky end up getting the job at some point in the season, and that team is just so bad that, it, you know what, it's the Blake Bortles effect. Maybe if Kizer's playing for Cleveland and Cleveland is just always playing from behind, you know, he might be able to turn out some decent fantasy games for you just from the fact that he's going to be having to throw the ball because Cleveland's going to be down most of the time. But, I mean, other than just that scenario happening, and we don't even know if those two are going to start.
Yeah, we don't know about Trubisky. We don't know about Kizer.
They just paid Glennon all that money. I mean,
yeah, and Mike Glennon's not necessarily a slob. He's sadly the best quarterback of that 2013 NFL draft quarterback class. I mean, that's not a high bar, but when a third rounder is the best one and it's just because the others were so terrible, that just goes to show what that was. Right, but Trubisky has to beat out Glennon. Kizer has to beat out Cody Kessler, who, despite getting hurt, impressed every now and then for the Browns. And the Browns, I don't think they're going to be looking at Kizer as a long-term option anyway. Trubisky might have some fun things to throw to in Chicago, but he still has to win the job. Let's talk about the guy that probably will win his job. That's Deshaun Watson in Houston. Watson, all he's got to do is beat out Tom Savage. And if you really have to have a problem beating out Tom Savage, maybe then you're not hyped up to be what you were supposed to be. I think, though, there's a lot of promise with that Houston offense if there is a competent quarterback. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. You've got Will Fuller. You've got C.J. Fedorowicz, the tight end there. You've got a solid running game with Lamar Miller who can catch passes out of the backfield. The rookie quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, he might be a guy who finishes in the top 15.
Yeah, I could see that. I think if I had to project it now, and I haven't done rankings yet, but I would probably sit him between that, if he wins a job, between that like 16 to 20 range, I think, because I do like what's around him. I really do. And I think Houston's a good team that just needed the quarterback. And I think Watson might have been, I think he's the most pro-ready of the guys that came into the draft. So I think he's going to step right in. I think he's going to do pretty well there if he's able to beat out Tom Savage. But I mean, to have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins to throw to, that can salvage, that can, you, the red zone target. That's what you need. You need him to get touchdowns, and you have a couple options there. Because C.J. Fedorowicz, not a big name. He's a pretty good player. I mean, he was stealing a lot of yards from Hopkins last year in the red zone. So I like that situation for Watson. I'm not taking him very high at all if I'm drafting him at
and
all.
And that's
the
question
place.
Is where do you draft Deshaun Watson? And I'd say he's worth a late round flyer. If you've got a quarterback already and maybe you're not sold on him, say you've got like a Tyrod Taylor or an Eli Manning, a guy that, you know, for some reason you decided I'm going to wait on quarterback and try to get a by committee approach. He's good for that by committee approach because of, like we said, we love what there is in Houston on the offensive side. We love the package that's going on there. I think that if the Texans can get Deshaun Watson comfortable, he's got the weapons.
Yeah, he's not a guy I'm going to trust in my fantasy lineup on week one. That's almost not going to happen.
Yes.
But if you're going to learn from me, I don't like taking quarterbacks very early. So if you happen to find yourself in a situation where maybe you take if you take a Phillip Rivers like in round 8 or somewhere in the middle of the draft, and you know, Phillip Rivers isn't matchup proof. Phillip Rivers against a tough matchup, not going to be that good for you. If you have a guy like that who's kind of a middle of the road quarterback, if you can back that up with Deshaun Watson, if you've got the room to do it, if you're strong at the other positions, then, you know, I'm fine with that because his upside is pretty high, I think, especially with the weapons around him.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson obviously is the guy here that has the most promise, almost on a by default, but he has a lot of promise. That's the strange thing about it.
He's the only rookie quarterback I would draft, even if they all got the starting job.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, again, you love the situation that he's in. You got to also factor in, the guy's going to get you some rushing totals. Mm-hmm. He's got the speed and athleticism to go ahead and pick you up a couple extra points on the ground. Why not? You know, it's one of those things where he's worth that late round pick if the draft has fallen that way where you haven't focused on the quarterback position, or if you want to stash him.
Sounds
as
like,
possible trade bait.
Sounds like we're in agreement here.
Yeah.
He's a late round flyer, and you got to have another option.
Yes, and great minds will think alike oftentimes on the Fantasy Football Podcast. Derek Kramer, Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, also a member of these podcasts, and not to mention the show that'll start back up in the Bills season, Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style. So there's going to be a lot of fantasy opinions, a lot more coming this year than last year. The schedules are freed up. There's more cooks in the kitchen now. You're going to have more fantasy content coming to you here on WGR. Running backs. I mean, you've got yourself a loaded and promising running back class.
Oh, yes.
At a position that could use some fresh blood.
Yeah, I love the rookie quarterback class this year. I mean, I don't know who you want to launch into first.
I want to launch into probably my favorite, and that's Dalvin Cook.
Ooh.
I love Dalvin Cook's situation in Minnesota because at the very least, even if Teddy Bridgewater comes back healthy, they still need to rely on running the football. And let's just look at the capabilities. Dalvin Cook is a far and away better player than Latavius Murray. He's one of those guys who's going to end up stealing that job by force. And he's going to look awesome doing it. The Vikings are one of those teams that they have a nice little bit of balance on weapons. Sam Bradford really doesn't throw the ball deep that often, and he's not really someone you can rely on to carry an offense. This is where I like Dalvin Cook's situation, and I think that his ability is bar none the best of the group.
In terms of their ability, I think they're all pretty close. My opinion is Cook is the biggest question mark right now because I don't trust what's around him right now. Now, I trust the Vikings. I don't trust how they're going to use their running backs because they just paid Latavius Murray in the offseason. And while I agree with you, he's a bad running back. I remember 2 years ago hearing some stat like it was Murray had – there were like 90 – he had a ton of touches 2 years ago with the Raiders. And there were like 93 – running backs in NFL history that had the same amount of touches as him. And of those 93 in fantasy points, he was 93rd all time. He did nothing with a lot.
Yes.
So I don't trust Latavius Murray, but I think they're going to give him touches. They paid him.
Oh, yeah, they're going to give him touches, but I think that Dalvin Cook is going to go ahead and ascend based on the plain fact that he's better than Murray.
But at what point is that going to happen? Because if I'm taking Dalvin Cook, especially if I'm in a keeper or a dynasty league, I'm taking him very high, I think. And I'm probably overpaying for him. So do I want to do that when he might not start till week 4 or 5, or even if he gets the starting job, he's going to be splitting. Maybe Murray becomes the goal line back, and maybe Jerick McKinnon is thrown in as the third down back. I mean, I see him losing a lot of touches around that backfield. If it's ability alone, he should get all the touches.
He's a three-down back.
He is a three-down back, and but I don't think he's going to be treated as such.
He's probably not going to be treated as such right away, but I do believe that he is one of those guys, though, that it's going to be that classic example of possibly that week four coming on strong. Next thing you know, he's the hottest thing on the waiver wire, and then you, and if you're listening to this podcast, you've had him all along, and you've angered everyone in your league. I think that Dalvin Cook is easily worth a selection here in the middle rounds. Not a guy that you go ahead and take right away because of the situation at hand, but I think that he turns that situation into a positive for him and the Vikings.
Now,
who's your favorite rookie running back coming in?
Now, I'm glad you asked because my favorite is Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
And I think there's a couple reasons for that. I think you're not, of the rookie running backs, he might go, I think he'll go second in most drafts, maybe third. I think him and Cook, they'll be a toss-up. I like him more than Fournette, though. And the reason I like him more than Fournette is because Carolina drafted him that early. They're going to use him. And Jonathan Stewart's been injury-riddled throughout his career, and he's getting up there in years, so you know what? He's probably going to take some goal line work away from that. I can live with that because McCaffrey not only seems to be getting a lot of – looks like he's going to get a lot of the work out of the backfield – in the passing game, if I'm in half point PPR or if I'm in PPR, that's the man I'm targeting because I think he's a special talent and people have compared him to Reggie Bush coming out of college, but it's a different league now because you need your running backs to be like that Reggie Bush type player back then.
The mismatch problem. And
they could throw him in the slot and if they're in man coverage, if the linebacker goes out with there with him, he's going to torch him every time. Even cornerbacks, people were saying in the combine, if he were a wide receiver, he might still be a first-round pick. Like, is he the next Julian Edelman, but he's added the running game to it? Like, I don't know what he is, but because he has so much to his game.
He's a great running back, too. That's the other thing. Stanford used his all-around abilities, but he can hit between the tackles, no problem. Now, my big question with McCaffrey is going to be this, Joe, where do you end up taking the guy? Is he a guy that you go early first three rounds kind of player, or is he someone that you're willing to take that risk and wait and see if you can get a steal on him? There's going to be a lot of hype. Point per reception league, anything PPR there, like you said, half point, whole point in particular, he's got to be a top two round pick.
I agree. I'm in a two-player keeper league right now, which is like my main league, and McCaffrey coming into that draft. So basically everyone's keeping two. So basically we're starting at the third round. If I were picking first, I'd be taking him first overall in my draft, but that's like taking him first in the third round.
Yes,
I think that's about where his value is. I think end of the second, early third. I think if you want to go heavy on receiver early and you're able to get him in the third round, I think I could trust him as my number one running back. I think I really, if I can get heavy on receiver, I'm not going to overpay for him in round one because there's a little too much risk there for me. Because while I do think Jonathan Stewart's only going to maybe take some goal line carries away, he's still there. He's still in that backfield. Cam Newton's still in that backfield.
Yeah, Cam Newton's still a thing.
It's kind of like the Dalvin Cook thing. The difference the reason I would put McCaffrey over Dalvin Cook is I think he's going to give you more out of the passing game.
He's going to give you more touches, yes.
And I think Carolina is a team that drafted him that early because they want to start using players out of the backfield because they needed help with Newton throwing the ball. And they might be running a lot more screens this year. I could see that happening. I think McCaffrey, I think he'll end up as a top 15 back for sure by the end of the season. I think there's a chance he could even be top five.
Yes, I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to be one of those promising backs. Like I said, talent-wise, I just love Dalvin Cook that much more, but Christian McCaffrey's got a case to being the best rookie running back of this draft class and someone that could be a great number one running back for you all around. You know what? Let's talk about the guy that both of us are not as high on.
It's interesting we haven't talked about him yet, considering he's the probably going to be the top guy going.
He's the first one taken in the NFL draft. Leonard Fournette. I don't love the situation. Chris Ivory is still a thing. You never know what Doug Marrone's going to do there. Just one of those kind of fantasy killers sort of things. And you know what? He may have disappointed, but T.J. Yeldon's still coming out of the backfield too.
Yeah, I'm not loving the situation there. I don't think it's the greatest fit in the world. I think he would be my second guy. I think I would still take him before Cook, But like you said, there's some other stuff there in Ivory and Yeldon, and they're also kind of giving you similar stuff to what Fournette's giving you. And none of them are really great passing backs. None of them are really, I would say, great pass blockers. So who's getting the third downs? It might be Fournette. I mean, they drafted him that early to probably play him three downs. So I could see that happening. They could even cut Ivory. I could see that happening. They were very low on Yeldon at the end of last season, so actually it might be him. But there's something about it. I just don't think he's going to get the – I think you're going to need – for him to pay off, if you're drafting him in the second round, which I think is where he might end up going,
yeah,
maybe even first, I think if you're drafting that high, you're going to need him to get double-digit touchdowns. I don't see that happening in Jacksonville. I just don't see that offense being able to produce a 10-touchdown running back. Just giving him enough opportunities for that to happen.
I can't agree with you more here, and my main reason is that offensive line in Jacksonville still needs work. And when have you seen Doug Marrone actually produce an offensive line that has been better than what it was before he came in? Look at the Buffalo Bills, for example. They had a great offensive line going for them. Doug Marrone shows up, and they got considerably worse, almost a laughing stock, despite having a lot of the same talent around. Yeah, we didn't have Richie Incognito a couple of years ago with Marrone as the coach, but you know, most of the group was still there. Mm-hmm. But then you see Buffalo's offensive line get immensely better when Doug Marrone leaves. You see the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line kind of get into that shooting itself in the foot kind of position, because I'm starting to realize that Doug Marrone's not as good of an offensive line coach as he touts himself up to be.
Yeah, I'm looking back even on his career. When he was offensive coordinator of the Saints, 2006, 2008, that wasn't a great running team. Not at all. Right?
They had Drew Brees.
They had Drew Brees, but remember they had Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush left and went and became a 1,000-yard runner in Miami. Yeah. So he's not really, it seems, getting the most out of his running backs.
He's not getting the most out of his offensive line to get the holes for
exactly.
those running
that's,
backs.
That's where the point is. He's not getting enough out of the line for the running backs to succeed. And we saw what happened last year, Fournette playing Alabama. When his offensive line is not better or dominating the defensive line, he struggles.
He struggles immensely. And
so he
I
needs,
feel like, yeah.
he's very reliant, I think, on his offensive line.
Yes, and sometimes it's good to have a vision-based back like that, but if the lines aren't producing the holes for you, there's not much that he can do.
So where would you feel comfortable taking him? Because I think second round's where he's going to go, and I don't want to take him there.
Here's my problem is that, you know, personally, I like to conduct kind of my own kind of draft board, and I have players that I like to avoid almost at all costs and find someone of similar value. Right now, that's what I'm sniffing out of Leonard Fournette. If I'm going to take a rookie back, I might take Dalvin Cook in front of him. I might take Joe Mixon. I might even wait and get Samaje Perine.
But if it's round four and say Perrine, you're not taking that early. But no. Say those other guys are off the board. You're taking them probably in round four.
I'm probably not taking them round four because that means that something of the receiver position or a quarterback is a great value.
That's a good point.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Buyer beware on Leonard Fournette. Don't go too high on him and don't overhype it. He may have been the number four overall pick, but I don't know if it's worth the first rounder that people are going to hype him up to be.
Yeah, I don't. First round for sure, I am not taking
him. I'm not touching him first round.
I might even consider him if I have a pick maybe in the late second.
Yeah.
But
you're going McCaffrey or Cook before that.
Yeah, I'm only doing that if there's guys off the board. Mixon is...
And let's talk about Joe Mixon here. I mean, that's a crowded group. Mm-hmm. When you have Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, and now you throw Joe Mixon into the group, all second rounders in the past. But the difference is Mixon can do both of what Hill and Bernard can do.
He can.
But again, the main issue is how many carries is he going to get? And that's going to be something you have to watch out for in training camp as the offseason turns into the preseason.
Right. I think it's going to be very interesting with that backfield, because if all three of those go into the season, I don't really want to touch any of those any of those guys. And I think Mixon, of course, is the most upside of the three, but he also could not get a lot of touches early on because they know they have two other guys that they can rely on a little bit. I think what might end up happening is I think they might end up moving on from Jeremy Hill. And
yeah, Gio Bernard showed a lot more of that promise at the end of last season.
Right. It's going to depend on how his recovery has happened, because I know he had a significant knee surgery.
I'm not remembering, it might have been ACL.
Mm-hmm. But if Jeremy Hill's not there day one of the season, Bernard, I think Cincinnati's proven that they only trust him as a third down back at this point.
Yes.
Which I actually think I think he could have been more, but I think they've proven they don't think of him that way. So, in that context, if Jeremy Hill is cut or is not there in week one, I think you can take him in the first two rounds.
Yes.
I think Joe Mixon has the talent to where if he's getting the opportunity, he could end up, like, if we talk about all these rookie guys,
mm-hmm.
would any of them completely shock you if they ended up a top three running back this year?
I mean, PPR McCaffrey, I'd kind of be shocked if any of these guys did end up top three, because mm-hmm. then you're bumping probably one of the likes of David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, off of there.
Mixon for me would be the biggest shock, because the backfield around him is better than any other situation.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray is garbage.
Okay. Yes.
He is. Jerick McKinnon is very small. He cannot be a three down back.
He's a third down back at best.
We go through Jacksonville. Those guys, Yeldon, is not a good running back. Ivory,
room,
we can
yeah.
keep going through them. But Cincinnati, they have two guys who have proven that they can be good three down backs. Even Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill is very bad in the passing game, but he's a very good pass blocker.
And he's a very, very good, strong runner.
Very strong runner. He's got speed in the open field. Bernard, same thing. Bernard's an all-around back. So what scares me is I love the talent with Joe Mixon. It really scares me with what's around him.
Yes.
More so than the other teams.
All right. So what I like to do, I like to have sleepers. And I love the rookie running back sleepers every year. Why? Because it's a party that never stops. But there's actually a couple of guys that I really like in the later rounds. I already had mentioned one with Samaje Perine in Washington, but before I extend on that one, I want to also mention a rookie that I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara in New Orleans.
Okay.
The reason? I mean, come on. How many running backs are there in New Orleans right now?
There's a lot.
There's too many, and it's always the problem. Every year, Sean Payton kills Mark Ingram's fantasy value as hard as possible.
I got to think Ingram gets cut, right? They brought in Peterson. They've never liked him. I mean,
and he's good.
He doesn't have a role there.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. And now Adrian Peterson's I don't know why Sean Payton continues to essentially poop on the value that and talent of Mark Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's the case of they just don't like him, it seems like, by the moves there. Or the front office in New Orleans is just losing their damn minds.
That could be. My guy, I think, Jamal Williams out of BYU. He's a fourth-round pick by the Packers. It might take a little bit of time for him to end up getting in
that
role.
It is a weaker running back.
Ty Montgomery right now is their starting running back. He's a converted wide receiver. A year ago, he was wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do I want to think he keeps flourishing in a position that he hasn't played until last season? I mean, I think Jamal Williams, coming into the draft at least, seemed like pretty good speed, decent size, not that big, but he's not super small either. In Green Bay, it's kind of iffy on how they use their running backs.
Yeah.
But they have had success. Lacy had a couple big years there. Lacy, at one point, he had such a big season, he was the number one overall pick in fantasy drafts the year after.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that happened. Where, so you can succeed in Green Bay, and I got to think he's going to take the job away from a converted wide receiver.
It's more or less, yeah, the part of maybe they don't use the running backs. Look at last season. They used running backs so infrequently because, quite frankly, the talent wasn't there.
And right now, I think Jamal Williams is not a guy that's on anybody's radar, fantasy-wise. Nobody's radar.
And there
you go. But when we hit July and August, I think that's a name when people start getting their magazines, they start listening to more podcasts, hopefully ours, and they start reading stuff online. I think that's going to be a guy that is going to start to climb fantasy drafts as the off season goes along. And I think right now, at some point, I think you can feel comfortable taking him in that round 9 to 13 range and feel like, you know what, I could stash him on my bench for a few weeks. He could be a starting, if he's starting at some point, that's going to be a great pick.
Yes. Here's one that not many people are going to notice as well. I love Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
To the Toledo running back. He is so awesome as a ball player, and he's going to steal some snaps in Kansas City where, yeah, Spencer Ware is there and, you know, allegedly at the top of the depth chart there. But you never know with Andy Reid, and sometimes a guy like Kareem Hunt can go ahead and steal a job and earn that starting spot. He's got the talent to do so. Kansas City has the running back favored offense to do so. I think this is a guy that, you know, he's not going to be a guy you're going to worry about drafting.
Right.
But he's going to be a guy that you want to get your eye on early and see how he's used in the preseason by Andy Reid and that Kansas City offense.
Another name that I think needs to be mentioned, Joe Williams out of Utah for the 49ers.
Yes.
The whole story by Peter King that he wasn't even on the 49ers draft board because John Lynch didn't want him there because of character issues. And it was their coach? Why can't I think of him? Kyle Shanahan was standing at the draft board saying, or someone, Peter King asked him, who's the player you want? He said, he's not on the board. I want Joe Williams. And he talked John Lynch into taking him. He ran a 4.41 at the combine. He's, I think, a really good talent. If he can keep his character issues under control, he will start this season because Carlos Hyde.
Outside of week one, Carlos Hyde is not a good fantasy running back.
No, he's not. And Tim Hightower is their only other running back right now. And Tim Hightower, God bless him, he made a great comeback in the league, but he's up there. Right now, from what I've seen from the Bay Area reporters on the 49ers, is that Carlos Hyde looks lost with Kyle Shanahan's offense. And that he looks like the most confused running back of all of them. So if Hyde's having a tough time picking up the offense, and there's already been rumors that they might want to move on from him because of his salary, if Carlos Hyde could be cut. He could be another guy.
And you know what? I wouldn't be very surprised.
Even if he's not, I think Joe Williams starts at some point.
Yes. I'm in 100% agreement about Carlos Hyde there. I think that, you know, again, outside of week one, what does he ever do for you in fantasy other than make your head want to explode?
Nothing. You hang on to him because of the value.
I don't even hang on to him for the value. If I ever draft him, it's to start him week one, sell him high to some goofball, and, you know, go from there.
Right. Exactly.
Carlos Hyde is easily the most infuriating kind of person because he's that guy that every year.
You say Leonard Fournette's on your do not draft list. Carlos Hyde is on my do not draft list.
Yeah. But that's because Carlos Hyde's proven once and again that he does this every year since Frank Gore has left.
Right. And you know what? Maybe I'd be able to get over that if it was because, you know, Kyle Shanahan, running backs in his offense do pretty well in fantasy, right?
Yeah, but Carlos Hyde proves to me he's a one-week wonder.
And if he's not picking up the offense.
A week one wonder?
Week one wonder. I guess that works. But if he's not picking up the offense, I'm not touching him.
A one-week, week one wonder. I can't say that again if I tried. Yes. I can't say that one again if I tried. So, you know, again, the last guy that I want to go over, I wanted to return to Samaje Perine in Washington. Robert Kelly. Come on.
I like Robert Kelly. Fat Rob.
But is he really going to be that number one running back?
Not in fantasy.
Exactly.
For the Redskins, though, I think he could be.
I don't see it with Robert Kelly.
He played pretty well last year.
He's not a guy that's going to wow you in any sort of way, but Samaje Perine has that talent. We saw it in Oklahoma. He's one of those guys where you saw the deep running back class, and you're seeing him falling, and you're like, okay, which team is going to get this guy? Who's going to be in the fortunate position where Perine ends up on their depth chart? And Washington got it, and I don't think that Perine could have landed in that many better of situations. You mentioned Green Bay, you mentioned San Fran, but
I do agree.
Washington's kind of high on the list of where you'd want a running back to go that was a steal.
Yeah, I do agree with that. If you're going to take Perine, I think you can still feel comfortable taking him kind of in that same range that you could take a Joe Williams or Kareem Hunt. I think he's a guy that I could very well see starting at some point in the season. I do think Rob Kelly is going to be fine, though. I think he looked pretty good last year. He averaged 4.2 yards a carry. Problem is the pass game. And I think Perine could give you some value even if he's not starting, which I don't think might be the same case with some of these other guys. I think if Rob Kelly goes in there and he's starting, maybe let's say Rob Kelly starts the whole season. I can still see Perine being a flex play once in a while because I think he's going to give you some stuff out of the pass game that Rob Kelly's not going to give you because Rob Kelly is not a good back out of the back.
You call the nickname that you gave was Fat Rob. So, yeah, he's not going to be a guy catching passes. So in a PPR, he might get a little bit of an added boost. I think Perrine's draftable.
Oh,
that's the other
thing
is that, you know, these other steals that we're looking at, they're kind of guys that, yeah, you might take a late round flyer on them for depth purposes, but they mostly might be a check them out, see how they're used in preseason, waiver wire kind of fodder.
Yeah, if you have an early draft, I think Perrine's more draftable.
Perrine is more draftable than some of these sleepers and a guy that you should be putting on your draft board late.
Yeah, because especially like if I'm talking about the two guys from right before that we were talking about, Kareem Hunt or Joe Williams, if I'm sitting here today, I think I'm taking Perrine first. Now, if everything goes the way I think it's going to go, if I had to predict what's going to happen through the next 2 months, I bet you my draft in August, I'm taking Joe Williams before I'm taking Perrine. But that's because I think Hyde's going to have an issue and might end up on his way out of San Francisco. But if it stays like this, Perrine for sure.
Yes.
Over those two for sure.
All right. So we'll be right back after this. We're going to talk our pass catchers. You got the wide receivers. You got a nice tight end class. And, you know, we
great
got a
tight end class.
Great tight end class. This is going to be fun. So make sure you stick around here to the Fantasy Football Podcast on WGR. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Make sure that you go ahead and enjoy all of our shows on demand audio here on WGR550.com. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Podcast here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and on demand audio at WGR550.com. Derek Kramer, Joe DiBiase here with you. We've been talking about the quarterbacks, the running backs of this impending rookie class, and now the rookie wide receivers and tight ends. We'll start off with the wideouts and also the my favorite. I've got it written in all caps. Mike Williams is going to be awesome. I think that Mike Williams, you've got Phillip Rivers throwing the football. You've got Keenan Allen on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things where you're not going to see double coverage. You've got Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates down the seam.
Well, we'll see if Keenan Allen can stay healthy.
And either way, I think that L.A., I got it right. L.A., the Chargers, have a good chance of having a deep receiver core, but Mike Williams is that guy that can go up and do everything for you.
I am big on Corey Davis this year, and I think he's going to send to Marcus Mariota's number one target. Tajay Sharp had foot surgery, if I can talk here, in the offseason, and he's been struggling to get back on the field with that, and that can be a troubling injury. So I see him getting a lot of targets in Tennessee. I think the talent is there, and I'm not worried about him being a small school guy going to Western Michigan. It's not even that small.
They're good.
Yeah, they were in BCS Bowl. Wow. But, Corey Davis. Yeah.
Williams and Davis really are kind of in the same mold. They're almost do-everything receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have talented quarterbacks throwing to them. Mariota's getting started, and Rivers is coming to his close in the NFL, but he's still a dang good quarterback to get the football to you. John Ross,
I'm not loving it,
and here's the reason why. I think he's DeSean Jackson. It's going to be one of those things where you're going to get 8 catches for 210 yards and 2 touchdowns, or you're going to see 3 catches for 30 yards and a fantasy bust for the day.
Yeah, no thank you. And especially with Andy Dalton as his quarterback, and he has built a repertoire with both Tyler Eifert and AJ Green. So to me, he's the third look for Andy Dalton. I agree with you. DeSean Jackson, he's going to have some games this year where he gets 20 fantasy points.
But the problem
he's gonna
is
going to have a lot of goose eggs.
There's going to be the problem is you don't know when those games are going to happen.
Exactly.
And that's the frustrating part, particularly with daily fantasy, which we will talk a lot more about with the fantasy show on Bills game days when the season starts again. Is in daily fantasy, John Ross is probably going to be the single most infuriating person outside of DeSean Jackson. Because I think he's a clone of DeSean Jackson. I think he's a guy that you can have him go deep and burn you, but then there's games where that defense is going to plan against it. Mm-hmm. Say there's an injury between Green or Eifert, and then they go, okay, let's just make sure this guy doesn't take us over the top. Right. So there's John Ross for you.
I got a sleeper for you.
I've got a couple.
Is Josh Reynolds one of them?
It's not. So we can go ahead and have a nice list here.
All right, well, Josh Reynolds.
Before you go on Josh Reynolds, there's always that guy who's taken in the first couple of rounds that you kind of have to avoid.
Okay.
First couple of rounds of the draft itself, not the fantasy drafts.
Right.
D.D. Westbrook's a big name.
Yeah.
However, he's been buried by the team who drafted him by default. You're talking about you've got to get past Marquise Lee. You've got to get past Allen Hurns. You got to get past Allen Robinson. I almost said Allen Jefferson.
Al Jefferson?
Al Jefferson.
NBA powerful?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Al Jefferson. No.
Yeah, he could do that.
Allen Robinson.
I think he could.
He probably could.
He can get over all of the. I don't think he gets over Robinson, but he could get in that. He could be that second.
He could,
receiver.
But I don't think it happens this year. Allen Hurns is a lot more underrated than people seem to give him credit for.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, a great undrafted find by Jacksonville. The other thing is that you don't know what Blake Bortles you're going to get every week.
That's true. Well, you know you're going to get some garbage time, Blake Bortles.
Yes. Not to mention, Jacksonville traded for... No, they traded away Julius Thomas.
And,
you know, I think, though, that...
Westbrook's not draftable to me, though.
He's not draftable. I don't even know if he's waiver
wire.
He's
a guy you keep an eye on, though, because if he starts lighting it up in training camp, I'm picking him up. Or if my draft doesn't happen, I might end up I might take a flyer on him in the end of the draft. But even if that doesn't happen, I have my eye on him all season.
Yes, he's a guy that he's going to
talents there.
He's more of a late in the season, watching injuries pile up kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, if your team's struck at wide receiver and the next thing you know, say Jacksonville has a couple guys down, yeah, D.D. Westbrook's a guy that you can go ahead and grab because the Jacksonville Jaguars always seem to be throwing from behind.
That's true.
So there's worse situations, but I'd say right now, don't worry about a guy like D.D. Westbrook who's drafted high in the NFL draft, a guy who's highly touted. I wouldn't worry about it. But you say Josh Reynolds.
6'3", ran a 4.4, 4.5, sorry, and... went to Texas A&M, fourth round pick. I think he has a very good chance on a Los Angeles Rams team that I don't like the receivers of very much. He has a very good chance to do something there. Now, there's a lot of issues with this, and I don't think he's draftable, but he's another guy I'm keeping my eye on because Robert Woods, bless his heart, he's a second receiver at best.
He's a number two.
Tavon Austin is a gadget player.
He's a slot receiver.
He's a slot receiver and a gadget player. He's Percy Harvin, but stays healthy. That's what Tavon Austin is.
I'd say even less productive.
Who is their other outside receiver going to be? Exactly.
There's a deadpan look on my face.
Nobody knows.
And I felt the need to describe that to everyone listening to this podcast.
The spot's available. I think Josh Reynolds has a good chance to take it. They drafted him in the fourth round, so you know he's not going to be a guy that comes in like maybe Zay Jones day one and say, all right, we're not going to hand you the job, but you're going to get a chance at it. Reynolds might not even get a chance at it in camp. But as the season progresses here, he could be that other outside receiver there.
All right, so he's a flyer.
Here's your
major question on your flyer then.
Okay.
What about Jared Goff or Goff?
That's a great question. And
that's a great question. So that's something
I wanted
you also
to ignore it. I don't like him. I don't like Jared Goff. So
you have to keep an eye on his progress.
Even if he does start, Reynolds is not a guy that can be top 20 if he takes off. The quarterback will hold him back even if he gets the job. So when I'm looking at him throughout the season, I think at best he's the flex at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's held back by Goff for sure.
Now you mentioned Zay Jones. Zay Jones is going to be a guy, like you said, unless the Bills sign Jeremy Maclin. He is the de facto number two wide receiver on this team and a guy who could see a lot of targets from the middle of the field. He's not to mention, though, the size. Touchdown production could be a factor for Zay Jones with the Buffalo Bills. And the other one is it's Darbo.
Yeah.
From Seattle. I think that's a guy you can go ahead and get a huge TD factor with the height, the big play ability with going up and getting it. Those are red zone factors that you have to look out for. Yeah, the Seahawks have Jimmy Graham, and yes, I'm well aware of that. But Darbo might be one of those guys that steals a couple of those touchdowns from Jimmy Graham. That's advice for Jimmy Graham owners.
I don't have a lot to give you on Darbo because I haven't read too much into him and seen what he's been doing. But I'd say Jones, I could tell you, I would not be surprised. He could give you the yards that Robert Woods gave you last year with the touchdowns Justin Hunter gave you.
Yes.
So and Watkins has not been able to stay healthy. So he could end up being the de facto number one at some point in that offense.
Save that the Bills don't sign a guy like Jeremy
Maclin.
Right.
This is, or at this point, they've not signed
Eric Decker.
Correct.
So we'll see what happens there. But there's a lot to like with Zay Jones and his situation there in Buffalo. I mean, outside of that, the wide receiver class, it's a little trickier to go ahead and find the potential ascensions.
Maybe our Darius Stewart and the Jets, because it's open
then,
there.
But
now.
Then you have Josh McCown, Bryce Petty, and or
well,
Christian
have
Hackenberg.
You do have your garbage time there. Curtis Samuel is another guy in Carolina to keep an eye on. Maybe. Other than that, I don't see the Carlos Henderson. I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him. I wanted the Bills to get him so bad in the draft, but I don't like the fit there in Denver. I don't think he's going to get playing time, and even if he does, I don't like the quarterback situation. So
it's a tricky one.
He's kind of off the grid.
Yeah, so wide receiver, it's not as deep as the running back class that we were gushing over in the first part of this podcast.
Cooper Kupp, by the way, was the other name I was thinking of.
Cooper Kupp, yes.
Another rookie.
Yes.
So they'll battle.
Yeah, they'll battle, and you know, I'm not sure Cooper Kupp is a number one or outside receiver material.
Same.
Tight ends. It's a pretty deep class, and it starts with the first rounder of that group, O.J. Howard, Tampa Bay. Are you kidding me?
Perfect.
This might be a top 10 tight end right away. You've got Jameis Winston throwing him the football. You've got a bunch of weapons there in Tampa Bay with a fully functional offense to go ahead and give you what you need, and O.J. Howard's got the talent to get it done and take care of even giving a little bit of a break to Mike Evans.
Yeah, I like the fit there. I think it's perfect for him.
Love the fit.
Rookie tight ends always take a while to develop, though, and you don't often get a ton of fantasy production out of rookies. I mean, even if you go back to Gronk's rookie season, he was borderline tight end one. He was barely that. That was a little different because he had Hernandez there to compete with him. But be careful when you're drafting a rookie tight end. I think O.J. Howard ends up a low-end tight end one this year, and that's certainly a guy that I can take in the middle rounds.
Evan Ingram with the Giants.
Evan Ingram.
He's an interesting one because you remember Larry Donnell? I remember.
I do, but the one guy there that no one's talking about is Will Tye. I think Will Tye's a damn good football player, and I think he's more of a blocker, yes, but he's going to be on the field.
But I also think that Evan Ingram is going to go ahead and get his catches, get his touches there because Eli Manning does like to use a tight end if they're actually a capable football player. How many functional tight ends has Eli seen in his career?
Jeremy
Not many.
Shockey.
Outside of Jeremy Shockey, really, what else have you gotten?
Bear Pasco.
Yeah, I rest my case.
And Kevin Boss.
I rest my case.
You're right. The other name I like is David Njoku.
Njoku, I actually kind of have a little bit of a warning label on here.
Ooh,
I mean,
I go the other way. I think he's a sleeper.
I think there's one or two ways to go about this with him, and it's really one or the other. I think it's something where I could see where you're coming up with that. You know, a guy that can go ahead and explode onto the scene. But it's also the Cleveland Browns and a team that I always suspect will have three different quarterbacks at any point this year.
Garbage time, though, man.
Garbage time is a factor.
I love garbage time in fantasy.
I just know that the chemistry is going to be off because Cody Kessler's probably starting the season. Cody Kessler's going to get hurt. DeShone Kizer's going to come in. DeShone Kizer is not probably going to be throwing to the ones all the time. There's just too much of this, I would say, chemistry issue.
I'll say this. I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. I might be a little surprised if he does what Gary Barnage did 2 years ago.
All right. I respect
Could
that. The one tight end I'd go ahead and take a look at, remembering late in the season, Bucky Hodges, the guy at Virginia Tech. He was drafted to Minnesota and a guy who could probably replace Kyle Rudolph immediately as a nice little safety valve, especially for Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, QB Big Sleeves is going to go ahead and throw to his tight end a bunch, and that's what he loves to do. That's his MO. That's his calling card, Sam Bradford, I'm referencing there as it is. Teddy Bridgewater, if he's healthy, you know, he's going to be a guy that finds guys in the middle of the field. That's his strong suit. No matter who the Minnesota quarterback is, Bucky Hodges is going to steal some touches, steal some catches from Kyle Rudolph, and probably toward the end of the season replace him as the number one tight end for the Vikings.
My guy that I like is Jake Butt. He was drafted by Denver out of Michigan.
You like the butt.
I like the butt. He had that bad knee injury right at the end of the season, but he is wearing a brace in his right knee. No mobility problems, according to whatever Denver Broncos beat writer I just had up on my screen that is no longer there. No mobility problems, and what else is there at tight end? Virgil Green. That's it.
Yeah.
He can overtake that. He could step in there. He could be their number one tight end at some point. He could be their red zone target. And, you know, with those quarterbacks, they might not be stretching the field too much. So they're tall. Maybe the short over the middle of the field is where I see a lot of Denver's passes going, and I think that could be held by Jake Butt a lot.
Yeah, Jake Butt could be a nice little promising guy there for you as well. Speaking of promising things, that's an Andrew Peters segue. But we're doing these podcasts. We're going to help you out with this fantasy season as we come into training camp, as the offseason turns into the preseason. I'm Derek Kramer. This is Joe DiBiase. This has been the Fantasy Football Podcast on WGR550.com and on On Demand Audio.